Well, good morning, everyone. It's exciting to be here. I'm excited every Sunday to be in the house of the Lord with everyone that's here and with everyone that was not able to make it. You know, we always go to church with the people that we have, not the people that didn't make it, but we do it in spirit and truth with them, even though they're not here, right? We still praise the Lord. We pray for them, and we still worship God. Amen? It's a beautiful Sunday, and again, I'm excited. I'm excited that you're here. We're going to be in John chapter 1. We're not going to go there just yet, but that's where we're going to end up parking the car this morning. We'll be there shortly. Thus far, since the new year started, which hasn't been that long ago, we were reminded by Catherine in the letter from her this morning when we read it. But this far, so far, we've drilled deep into the Word of God. Just 15 short verses we've went through so far. That's about 2.5 hours of sermon time. I apologize for that in advance of everything. In 15 short verses, you think about it, the Apostle John has identified the Lord Jesus Christ as creator of all things, the creator of all things. He's identified him as the sustainer of all things. He has identified him as Christ being the very life of humanity, the very light that is shone down from heaven, a light that has stepped down, piercing through the darkness of evil to make ready a bride for her groom. Oh, it's 15 verses, folks. I'm just telling you, we're just getting started. It's early on. We're just getting the party music down low still. You wait till we crank it up. It's going to get exciting in here. Even more exciting than I am right now, right? God is good. And that's really the exact same message that we've heard before from another John, John the Baptist, who's the forerunner of Christ, the one who God readied from his very birth, if you remember from the Christmas story. He was to be the one that would go forth before Christ, pointing the lost house of Israel, pointing you and me to the great I am, pointing us to the very Lamb of God, that great manifestation of hope in the present hour, who gave up his home in heaven. You know, some people talk about giving up so much, you know. Well, I've given up eating chocolate. Well, that's really hard to do. Giving up, you know, exercising. I do that all the time. That's easy to do. People talk about giving up so many different things, you know, but you think about it. Our Lord and Savior has given up his home in heaven that we might reign with him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, right? Christ stepping down from his dwelling place to tabernacle among us. And all these things we've gathered from 15 short verses. That's the power of the text. That's the power of the scripture in our lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle John has said, writing to the peoples of the first century, within a generation of Christ's manifestation and crucifixion, okay? John had wrote in his first letter, I don't have it on the screen this morning, but John had wrote in his first letter, we read it, I think, in week one, he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, these things I've written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know, right? And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's writing these things that we can know, that we can place our hope and trust in it, that we can bank on it. To know something is to be absolute, right? It's not I might know something, I may know something. I know something. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. When we read John's gospel, we are reading a gospel that is written by a man that personally knew the works and purpose of Jesus Christ. We're talking about a man who walked with Christ. We're talking about a man who studied under the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about a man who witnessed the miraculous works of Jesus Christ on earth. We're talking about an eyewitness account. Isn't that amazing? We're not talking about some hand-me-down story, you know, how you hear from some people, you know, or heard from somebody else, or heard it from a friend who heard it from another. No, right? And that's a whole other song, isn't it? That's the wrong one. But this is a first-hand account. And I mentioned it last week, and I think it's worth mentioning it again this morning, that in the Garden of Eden, we joined in God's story. When you think about that, right? He created us to be with him. And in the birth of Christ, God joined us in our story. God in Christ was birthed to be with us. And through Holy Spirit power, even today, Christ not only dwells with us, right? But he dwells within us through Holy Spirit power. Amen?
Amen.
And then it becomes really, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that to be present from the body is to be present with the Lord, that even in death, the Spirit of God in us lives on, right? I'm going to break it down just a little bit because there is a lot of foundational power in this right here, and I can't say it enough. But the first, in the beginning, in Genesis, at the very first, God had invited us literally into his story. He's a social God. He's triune. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, let us make man in our own image. And he invited us into his story by creating us, forming us, thus blowing the Holy Spirit into us, giving us life, giving us a living soul. But sin separated us from God. We were parted away from God. We were moved away from God. Because of our actions, we were disobedient to God. Then God in Christ, God saying that's not the end. Being separated is not the end. He entered then into our story, Emmanuel with us, Christ coming into our story. He tabernacles among us. He comes with us. And where Christ being with us wasn't enough, sin persisting, just because Christ came down, that wasn't enough. It wasn't. Christ died for the sins of the world, defeating sin and death. And then God in Christ through the Holy Spirit can now live within us, can now live inside of us, changing literally our heart, changing who we were in Eden that expelled us, so that, check it out, so that even in our death, yet our flesh be slayed, in our death we join God again in his story. The first time we entered God's story was in Eden, but this second will be in glory, amen? We get to enter into his story again. It began in his story, and it'll end in his story. And that's the beauty of the gospel message. That's the beauty of the person of Christ. Then somebody says, Pastor Dave, that is exciting. Is that all you got? Exciting? There's more. It's like an infomercial, right? There's more. There's one more thing, right? We're told in Revelation chapter 21 that after we have been joined with Christ, after the satanic rebellion has been crushed, after evil has been literally defeated, Satan cast into the lake of fire for eternity, thank the Lord. We are told in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5, and they're on the screen this morning, we're told this, the Apostle John saw a vision as it were, and here it is, the power and glory of the story, saying, check it out, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. That's a beautiful story right there. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne said, we're talking about the person of Christ, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. That's the Apostle John wrote that. The Apostle John wrote that. He writes his gospel when he's a much younger John, and he writes the book of the Revelation when he's much closer to death. And I think that he probably said, as he was writing it, an editor by the Holy Spirit took it out, he probably said, boom shakalaka, right? I mean, he said, bam, you know? Look, it's what yet to come. It's not over even in death, for there are even greater things yet to come. And for me, I think that's the power of meeting Christ in his context, right? I said that last week. Sometimes we try to bring him into our context too often, and we discount his ability, right? We need to enter him into his context, into his power, right? Amen? In the context of truth, we realize with clarity the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that the book of the Revelation is unfolding. It's the unfolding of the promise. It literally is, for many of us, it is the curtain that is being lifted. And before us in the horizon of God's own will is an intentional relationship between us and Creator God. Amen? There is a great future out ahead of us. I mean, so many people have so much fun going out and looking for houses, or they sit on Realtor.com and they say, well, I don't look at home prices. Boy, that's a nice house out in the country right there. Boy, that's a beauty, right? The price ain't too bad. We can go through the book of Revelation or any part of the Bible, and we can look at our future home in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we can talk all day a lot. You know, this is a home that we're not paying for. Jesus paid it all. Amen? They ain't even no land taxes, and that's a whole other situation. We'll talk about that later. And Revelation helps us to understand this. It gives us a glimpse of the end, a glimpse of the promises that lay before us in the arms of the only one that literally fully understands us. Jesus Christ is the only one that fully understands each and every one of us. And I know that many of us have lots of questions. We wonder if anyone understands us at all. And how many of us actually have walked around in life? You don't have to raise your hand. It can be, it's rhetorical kind of, but you can answer with inside yourself. But how many of us have literally walked around in life or laid in our bed or maybe we're on the phone or we're online? I don't know what it is. And we say to ourselves things like, you know, nobody truly understands me. You know, nobody gets me. Nobody gets the feeling that I've got going on. They just don't see where I'm at today and the troubles and the struggles that I'm going with. And I want to say this, that God understands us. He understands each and every one of us. He understands us all. He understands me. He understands you. And somebody is saying right now, and I know that they're thinking in their heart, despite what I'm saying, right? You're thinking in their heart, yeah, right, Pastor Dave, you know, how can God possibly understand me? You know, how can he understand me and all the stuff I've been? How can he truly understand me? And I'd like to say, here's how I would deal with that question if it was verbalized, you know. I would say, let me know when you're done feeling sorry for yourself, okay? Just let me know. I'm not trying to be rude. I just, when you're done with that pity party, I'll talk to you about bringing some true hope into your life to the one that truly knows you better than anyone. But Pastor Dave, you don't understand. Nobody can understand. You don't understand. I've been in and out of so many situations. I've been in and out of so many people's lives. So much has happened. For me, Pastor Dave, life is like a game of whack-a-mole. It's like a game of whack-a-mole, Pastor Dave. And this thing pops up, you know, and bam, and then another thing pops up, and then it's pow, you know. It's up and down. It's bam and pow, kablam. If it ain't one thing, Pastor Dave, it's always another. You don't get it. How could God truly understand all of that? Well, first of all, I want to say that if that is you this morning, and maybe that's how you feel about yourself, and I really am definitely sorry that you feel that way. I truly am. As much as I joke around, I'm telling you, my granddaughter says, Papa, you joke around too much. I said, okay. What's wrong with that? I mean, you got to make a point, right? But as much as I joke around, I'm being very serious there. If that's you this morning, I do apologize for that, and I feel bad that you feel that way. But there is someone that can truly understand your condition, and that's what I want you to know this morning. I want myself to know that, because Jesus Christ, he has lived it. He has lived it out in his own life. And not only has he lived it, but his message in John's gospel points us to the believer's eternal victory in Revelation chapter 21. He knows. So not only did he know the troubles of this life, but he knows the victory that's ahead of us. Amen? And that's the importance. He truly understands not only our condition, but the outcome. And to help us in our present condition, John, the man that personally knew Christ, the man who walked with Christ, who studied under Christ, who walked with Christ, who witnessed the miraculous works of God in Christ on this earth, he gives us this comfort in John 1, 16 to 18 this morning. It's on the screen. That's our main focus of Scripture this morning. John 1, 16 to 18, it's on the screen. Whereas John writes, speaking of Christ, and you're going to have to keep up with me because I got this scripture is so powerful. He says this, from his abundance, right? And he's talking about from Christ's abundance. He says, we have all received one gracious blessing after another, right? In other words, God has put up with us for a long time. There's no chance that he won't forgive us. There's room enough for God to forgive each and every one of our sins. He's put up with us a long time because of his abundance of grace. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. The law was given that we might understand, all of us, each and every one of us, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. That's what the Apostle Paul says. The law was given that we might know sin. The law is a revealer and both a killer, and those that choose to live by it must also die by it. But God's unfailing love, God has an unbreakable love. God has an unwavering love. Paul says that the greatest gift of all is love, and that love never fails. God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Christ is the expression of God's very deep desire to rescue us into his eternal arms, proof that he is committed, faithful toward his creation, faithful toward you and me. Amen? Verse 18, no one, that means not a single person, right, has ever seen God but the unique one, Jesus Christ, who is himself God. Check that out, the second person of the Godhead. People say, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that Jesus is God, who himself is God. Christ is near to the Father's heart. Check it out. And for believers, Christ is in our heart today. Amen. That he is near to the Father's heart. Christ is in our heart. Check it out. He, Christ, has revealed God to us. That's a powerful section of scripture right there. He has seen him. No one has seen God except the Son. God has sent his Son into the world to reveal the truth of who we are, and that is that we are all, each and every believer, children of God. I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, and if Jesus is in your heart today, if he's in control of your life, if you've taken the time to check out of hell and you stopped by the desk and you said, I'm out of here, if you took the time to check out of hell today, and that means that you're no longer a part of the fallen world, if you're no longer walking in your former ways, if you're no longer walking in the lust of the flesh, then you, then me, then all of us, each and every one of us, we are children of God. Amen? And somebody says, Pastor Dave, I walked straight out of hell, but I forgot to check out. Oh, boy. We'll get that taken care of, right? You're going to want to say, well, I'm out of here. Give that room key back. Well, you don't want to be holding on to that. That's like saying you quit smoking and putting your cigarettes on top of the fridge in case you want one later, right? That ain't going to work, Jack. You're going to get rid of that room key, all right? And in John's gospel, John is telling us about his personal experience with Christ, and that God's unfailing love is revealed in Christ, right? It's revealed in Christ. It's what we call God's selflessness. It's what we call God's determined commitment toward us. It's revealed in Christ. The grace of God toward us is revealed in Christ. Check it out, in that God in Christ, and this is so important, that he stepped down from heaven to be with us, to be in our own context, to join us, to contextualize the very present understanding of the human condition. He wanted to know. He wanted to come down here. He wanted to be with us. In order for him to conquer sin, he had to be down here. He had to be that perfect sacrifice. He had to be that perfect one who could fulfill the law that could break the cycle of sin and death among humanity. Think about that. The scripture says he stepped down into the very mess, my paraphrase, that caused us to be separated from him in the first place. And this was his message, I believe, and again, it's a paraphrase. He says to each and every one of us, and I know he spoke it to me, I can show you the way home. Father Abraham, he roamed Canaan, he roamed Saudi Arabia, he roamed all over the land. Isaac roamed, Jacob roamed, the 12 tribes roamed until they found a home. And even now, they're spread out all over the world. We roam, we wander, we look in the mirror, we drive. We think that if we move from one zip code to the other, life will change, things will be different, but they never are. Roam, roam, roam. If I move here, things will be better. If I move here, they'll forget who I am. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus says, I can show you the way home. John is talking about here what he would later write about in the book of Revelation 21. Jesus Christ knows the way back to Eden. He knows the way home. He knows the way back to where it all started, back before the presence of God. Looking again at John 1, verse 18, it's on the screen from the CSB translation. I like the way it reads here. It says, no one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. I like the way that reads. God whom no one has ever seen. You know what the Bible says, right? You look at God and you're dead, poof, right? Somebody says, I just want to be with God right now. No, you don't. It's going to be bad, right? And Exodus 33 and 20, right? God preparing to pass before Moses, allowing him to get a glimpse of his very glory. You know, you got to read that section of scripture. You know, Moses and God are having conversation. There's a lot of things going on. We're moving a whole nation out of Egypt. They're going to head out. They're on their way to the promised land. And Moses has questions. You know, I mean, he should. There was no handbook that came with it at the time. He wrote the handbook through the power of the Holy Spirit in the beginning, right? But God says to Moses, he says, you cannot see my face, no man shall see me and live. But here in John's gospel, check this out, we are told that Jesus Christ, God's only son, who is God himself, he has revealed himself to us. Amen. And guess what the church didn't burn down? Huh? Yeah, walked it, a little lightning or nothing. John says, it was pretty good, you know. I said a lot of things in that fishing boat when we got skunked, you know, but God, he forgave it all. You know, thank the Lord. Amen for that one, right? In other words, Jesus is, as Isaiah has said, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us in presence without the penalty of death. That's the confidence of John. That's the confidence of the martyrs. That's the confidence of the saints. It's the confidence of the angels. And it's the confidence that we can have in this very hour that God has revealed himself, that Jesus Christ has given us a peek into the heavenly reality, a glimpse of our Creator. Amen? I mean, John's got experience. He's got a resume. If John were here today, there wouldn't be anyone who would be qualified, who would have a pedigree, that would be able to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of Christ Jesus and God, because John would have the firsthand experience. He would tell stories that he went through Jesus with this place and that place, and this person was healed. This one was risen from the dead. And you'd say, get rid of Pastor Dave and Pastor Josh. We want to listen to this cat, man. That's good stuff. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, John might just do those things for us in this present hour. God is real. He has shown himself before man. He is the declaration of John the Baptist. Okay, he is the truth realized by the apostles, and he has called for believers to take part in helping the world to discover his reality, summoning us to the great commission given by Christ himself when he said, go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel and tell the world about the God-man that showed himself alive. Now, the Super Bowl is tonight. I know, right? Nobody seems very excited. Me either. And if you somehow knew the final score before the game started, and there are people that say that, that's already known, okay, I know that argument, then the whole thing would be, who would you bet on, right? And so I guess if you were a betting person, I'm by no means saying that this should take place, unless, of course, you are in, you know, Roger Goodell's office, and you know who's going to win the game ahead of time, because I think I've been told that that's true. But would you bet on the winner or the loser, right? And, of course, you know, you would bet on the winner, right? I mean, nobody's going to bet on the loser, right? And in the book of the Revelation, John has given us a glimpse of our final victory in Christ. He's given us a glimpse of this final victory. And if you're placing your hope in Christ, you're already the winner. You've already won. And a lot of people have been told Satan's final outcome, right? They've been told what's going to happen. Yet despite that understanding, they choose to side with a loser, living the lie, and they're going to get burned. And if you play with fire, you get burned. And somebody says, Pastor Dave, that sounds more like a scare tactic than anything. I don't think so, but if that's what you want to call it, that's fine with me, and I would rather scare the hell out of you than to fan the flames of hell in you. Are you with me? John says, no one has seen God at any time, but that he has revealed himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ. So the question is for all of us, are we on the winning side of death today? Are we playing, you know, whack-a-mole, you know, with the world you don't understand, beating down the truth all the time, and bam, and pow, and kablam, right? Are you beating down the truth in Christ, living out a lie? Is that where we are today? Are we living out that lie? And if that's you today, I want you to know that just as the Bible tells us, I want you to know just as the text is revealed to us as we read it, and it's revealed to me, I want you to know that Christ has done something magnificent for all of us. He's done something truly gracious and grateful, and I want you to know that you can lay your burdens down at the cross of Christ. Worship team, you can come on up. I want you to know that grace and truth, grace is that undeserved favor afforded us by God. Truth is understanding who we are in Christ. I want you to know that grace and truth are the horizons of God's will. In other words, we all know, I hope, by now what a horizon is and what the horizon actually is. It's that line as we look forward. It's the boundary we see in the sky where the sky appears to meet the earth. It's way out ahead of us, right? No matter how fast you drive your car, you never seem to catch it. No matter how fast you run, you never seem to be able to claim it, right? And no matter how fast the plane flies, it's there. It's the horizon is still before us. It's equally as far, no matter what. That's the measure of grace and truth in Christ. It has no end. It has no end. There's a song by Chris August, and it was put out probably 15 years ago. In the first verse, it's called No Far Away, and the first verse is this. And it's stunning. I wouldn't call it a worship song, but it's certainly a song of reflection. It goes, when I ran from you, I ran to you. When I tried to hide, I found you there. When I told you no, you knew right where I'd go. When I ran from you, I ran to you. Because no matter which direction we run, the plane goes or the car drives, the horizon's always there before us. Grace and truth are the horizons of God's will for humanity. And I pray that you know it. Its measure is unmeasurable, and its hope cannot be completely understood. He is so gracious and beautiful, but he understands us. Hallelujah.